Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Anne, who is here to talk with us about her experience of the most recent email class, Sex and Money Are Dirty, Aren't They? Welcome, Anne.
Hey, Jen.
Hey, good class, huh?
Oh, my gosh. Well, what class is it?
No, exactly. It's like each time, how are we going to say, no, no, really, this is the best class?
Oh, I mean, the writing is just so exquisite. I mean, to tell you the truth, the price of the class is worth it to just read the first email, if you ask me.
You mean like the actual assignment? Yeah.
Yeah, just the first email that, you know, every time there's an email class, the first email that comes out and lays it out. And it's just beautiful and exquisite and amazing. And
I know.
I always think, what an amazing gift.
You know, it's really true. I mean, we have an amazing Sangha. You know, I mean, we have an amazing group of people who have an amazing group of talents.
Yes. Well, and then also just I thought you were going to say amazing Sangha when you look at the things that people write in, the responses that people give, and the deep looking that is happening.
I mean, and I heard someone talk in a group at the monastery say something which was so my experience, which is that the responses that came through in this class were so helpful. I mean, again, they're always helpful, but it just... And actually, it was in a group with Sherry, and she was talking about how, and I think they talked about this before the class began, how in particular they laid out this topic as a topic that's accessible to anyone and everyone, and really inviting people into the email class to realize you don't have to be, you know a lot about practice to participate in these classes. And it just really felt like in what people wrote in and in her responses, things were just so clearly and helpfully laid out.
Yes, and what I thought was just brilliant and exquisite was how it was, you know, you would think if you saw a title of an email class about sex and money or dirty or whatever, you know, I'm thinking
right.
In the book, but that the way it was laid out was, it was really about how do we work with intense emotion.
Right.
And how, you know, each class looked at a different emotion that for all of us, probably one of those we have great difficulty with because of our conditioning.
Right.
At least one, you know, probably, you know, if you're like me, it's all of them. But
exactly.
Yeah, at least one.
Yeah. Well, and how could it be otherwise, really, right? Because that's the whole thing about conditioning is it's so not personal. It's so exactly the same for each person. And so, of course, we can all relate to shame. We can all relate to guilt. We can all relate to anger. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing that struck me, you know, and I don't know, you know, if you were to ask me why this particular class, I don't know that I could put it into words. You know, it could be that it's because I participate in every class and it's just... the teachings are just hitting on a deeper level, or it could be that there was something specific about this class in particular. I don't really know, but what I got on a deeper level I've ever gotten before is that content is so irrelevant.
Uh-huh.
It really does not matter what the content is in our lives. It's that conditioning is going to use whatever content hooks us against us.
Right. Wow, and that's so huge to see, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, that it's really, well, because there's the freedom, right? If we can shift our attention from trying to resolve the content, which is how conditioning keeps us stuck, and instead shift it to what is the process that's going on here? Then we, even with that one shift from content, focusing on content to focusing on process, we've disidentified from the person who's believing the content.
Yeah, exactly. So it really does, you know, from what you just laid out, it goes from a lose-lose to a win-win. So the lose-lose is my well-being depends on content, which is incredibly difficult because I have zero control over it, as Sherry pointed out over and over in the class. And then also, especially with subjects like sex and money, it's all shrouded in this shame, guilt, anger, all the strong emotions that were laid out in the class, so I can't talk about it, so I'm completely trapped. But then realizing that it's actually the process, not the content, A, I'm immediately freed from the supposed content that's going on because I realize that's totally irrelevant. And then I get to actually realize there's a conditioned process that's holding me hostage that's very likely happening everywhere else in my life.
Yeah, that's a great way to say it. To be able to, when we switch from content to process, we can see that there is a conditioned process holding us hostage. That's just a great way to say it. And yeah, what I was looking at in this class is that the content, I mean, you can, everybody has a different content, but the process that is universal in it is conditioning is using content, and usually what it is, it's using our own feeling response to life as proof that there's something wrong with us.
Oh, wow, that's big too. Wow.
Yeah, so that we can't, I mean, you pointed at it, we can't admit that this is what's going on for us because whatever is going on for us is proof that there's something wrong with us, that we're different from everybody else, and we shouldn't say anything.
And what you're, the connection I think you're making is that, and the proof of that is how I feel.
Yes.
Oh, it's so pernicious. So evil. So, you know,
yeah,
we're sentient beings. We have all these, you know, our entire system on all kinds of levels, you know, on the neurons and everything that's reacting to life is just happening, and then conditioning is making all this meaning around it.
Yes, yes, making all this meaning around things that have no meaning. You know, I feel this, okay, it doesn't mean anything. I just feel it. Well, when you were talking, it reminded me of, you know, I think it's in Trying to Be Human that we're sentient beings trying not to be sentient, tensing
right.
up against life.
Right.
And to me, that's what the whole class was pointing at. We're sentient beings. We have these feelings, and we're conditioned to attempt to try not to have them, which
right.
is like, you know, water trying not to be wet.
Right. Right. And the, you know, the extra tragedy on top of it all is that water's gift is that it's wet.
Wow, that's beautiful. Oh, that's great. Yes. So it's kind of like conditioning is pushing us to move in the complete opposite direction of the gift that our unique expression of life is.
Which is exactly, I think, wasn't it, was today the peace quote by Sherry Huber around, I'm going to, you know, butcher it, but basically it's so great because conditioning is always lying and it's always telling us exactly the opposite
yeah.
of what's so. So it becomes this really great compass because whatever.
Yeah, because we go in the 180 degrees in the we go
yeah.
in the opposite direction.
Yeah,
but it's, you know, I don't know. There was something so helpful about the class because what I've done with that is take it into every. I mean, not that you know, it's kind of like I joke, and it's like you realize the carpet's beige and it's been beige forever, you know. So I'm saying, wow, I had this great revelation in this email class. It's all about process, you know. Well, that's. You know, that's what practice has been saying since day one. Except, you know, so I go into these situations and I'm just so grounded in the fact that it has absolutely nothing to do with the content.
Yeah.
Like, can I come from a centered place? Can I be as compassionate and kind as I possibly can with whatever's going on in me or in anybody else? You know,
yeah.
It's such a relief.
Isn't it? And it's so joyful, isn't it? When,
yeah.
I mean, not only has practice been saying that for years, but you've been saying that for years. I mean, you know that, right? We all know. Right, right. It's process,
yes,
not the
well,
content.
You know, and Sherry always says this, you know, what a social relief it is
yes.
when we practice.
Exactly.
And, you know, what a social relief it is when we're not believing the content.
Exactly.
When we're able to focus on process.
Yeah, yeah. And there we are, right? We are the teaching when we do that because, you know, that to me it's such a joyful experience to be in a situation where maybe even in the past you've known it. You're in the middle of a situation, everything's going on. Okay, I know it's not about the content. But suddenly it's available to us and we're able to not go there, to not get dragged into the conditioned story. And if it's even for just a second, that there's a change in behavior, that something is different, and we just stay here for even a second longer, it's so joyful, and I project such a, as you say, it's, you know, that social relief thing, it's such an example for everyone who's involved.
Yes, yeah, 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 and you know, there's, I don't know, I don't really have words to express the gratitude for having such caliber of teachings available to us. It's really quite astounding.
I've been looking at that too lately, just the caliber and the integrity and the unwaveringness, if that's a word.
Yeah, and I guess we can include everybody listening in that too, because
absolutely,
it's really the caliber of people's commitment to practice, willing to practice, and the caliber of the Sangha. It's almost like the caliber of the teachings calls out the best of us to respond to that and practice with that.
Yep. It calls to people who want to practice in that place,
mm-hmm,
from that place, be that place.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, so we are very, very lucky people indeed.
We are. And speaking of lucky, thank you very much for being willing to be with us this afternoon.
Oh, absolute pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Anne.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you to start the show.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Anne. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Jen, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you. Nice to be here in this
capacity. Great. That was a triple, super, fabulous, amazing conversation you just had. I just love that.
It's fun, isn't it?
It was great.
Yeah. It's a good class.
Yeah, it was a good class, and you made a lot of wonderful super points, which I'm not going to repeat. I just wanted to add one point, and that is for me that reading the responses, you know, the anonymity is so helpful, you know, because you really get to see into people and what's going on with them, you know, their purity, their goodness, the conditioning that they're struggling with, and it's just, I mean, it's just so obvious that we're all dealing with the same stuff.
I know. And it's,
you know,
really
go
what's
around
so helpful, too, is that then people are actually saying what's going on with them.
Yes.
Do you know? It's not like, oh, it's all good here.
Right. Yeah.
No problems here. We're all set.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And with that, you know, I look at other people in my life, and I can see, oh, this is a beautiful person. I mean, they're all beautiful people.
Exactly.
And they probably got something going on, if not a lot going on, you know, trying to deal with conditioning.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yep. I always say it, but it's one of my favorite quotes, the be kind to everyone you meet, for everyone is fighting a hard battle.
Yep. Yep,
you know, it's just
exactly
that place of, gosh, the gift of seeing everyone's goodness right along with all the things they're struggling with. That, you know, we're supposed to, at least in ourselves, believe that, just like we were just talking about with Anne, that all those things that are going on for me and I'm struggling with mean, basically, there's something wrong with me.
Yes.
And it's so clearly not true.
Yes. Yeah, we are just so lucky to have this practice and the clarity and, you know, the ABC, follow this step and then this step and like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's another good point. Yeah, laid out very clearly. Yep.
Yes. So I have some announcements here. Shall I jump into that, or
yes,
is there
please.
Anything else you'd like to share?
No, that was it. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Don't miss the next session of Stop, Drop, and Text. This practice supports us in practicing mindfulness in our daily life. Slots are filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so sign up now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they always sign up before. I mean, they always fill up pretty quickly once it's opened. So.
Yes.
Hop
yep,
in there,
that's
especially
my experience.
If you're someone who hasn't done it before and maybe just finished the email class and wants some support, not some ongoing support.
Yes. And a new 2-week talk and tell recording and listening intensive is set to begin on September 14th. Participants will use their recorders to strengthen the skill of redirecting the attention to this here now.
And I think we talked about that last week, was it? Yeah, on Good News.
Yes.
That's only one of two of those intensive this year, so that's a must-do also.
Great. Sequoia Seaborn, a senior practitioner at the Zen Monastery Peace Center, will lead a workshop on art and the heart on September 19th in Los Altos, California. In the silence of the privileged environment, the workshop will explore creating without goals and practice expression through the sheer joy of participation.
Creating without goals. Wow.
Yeah. Yep. It's great.
That's appealing.
Yes. And this bridge walk season, everyone is invited to participate in the High Five Challenge of keeping five commitments a day until the bridge walk on October 3rd.
Never too late to jump in. And definitely go and register your steps, your not your steps. Well, you can register your steps. See, that's always on my mind. You can tell.
Huh?
But register your commitments, because our goal is 10,000 commitments to
yes.
honor feeding 1,000 children now over the course of 10 years. And so we're not quite there yet. I'm not worried one bit, because I know we're going to get there. But it is going to take people going in to actually register their keeping their commitments. So
Yes, because I'm certain people are keeping them.
Exactly.
And then the next step is to mark that they are being kept.
Precisely. Yep.
Great. And so for these and all other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders: to make guest show, to indicate your desire to talk with Jen tonight, press *6 and then 1. And if folks could focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes, that helps everyone. Okay, so let's get started, Jen.
Okay, sounds good.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Jen. It's Jodine in San Francisco.
Hey, Jodine.
Hi.
Hi. Hey. Well, I'm really glad to be on the air with you guys, because I seem to have lost the knack of getting on the show.
Well, I'm not sure you've lost the knack as much as a lot of people have found the knack of calling in.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would be more the because if you notice, Jodine, have you noticed, we can go months without having a repeat caller.
Now that you say it, yeah.
that's a little bit more of what might be going on.
Yeah. I was almost ready to email in and say, like, is something gone wrong, or I don't know. But anyhow, hello. I'm glad to check in. And I have been doing very well. And I have to say it's because of practice. Been dealing with a lot of difficulties, and I'm kind of, it feels like I'm in the tide, you know, sometimes like the tide of life goes out,
yep.
and then the tide of life comes in, and
yep.
and so I'm in this, like, riding this wave of just all these opportunities and ideas and feeling really plugged into life. And feeling like the challenges I was facing have in this kind of paradoxical way generated all this opportunity. And what I was calling about was kind of maybe for some more practical, a more practical question,
okay.
Which is that the process is harmlessness.
The process
is harmlessness.
Harmlessness. Got it.
Okay. Doing no harm.
Yep.
And what I discovered in cleaning out a big closet, this big walk-in closet that I have, is that my closet is infested with moths that feed on fabric. And it's just been really interesting, like, how that's, like, playing out. Like, I haven't done anything about it yet. And it's just kind of playing out. And actually, apropos to the Good News update, I've been trying to step back and look at it from a process place.
Very good. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what I've got to is one of the processes is that I accepted a precept to do no harm, knowingly. Mm-hmm.
And if only those moths had as well.
That's right. What if they had little sweaters that they needed in the wintertime?
You were doing all of
them. And the other process that's happening that I see that feels good actually is that I've gotten to this place in practice where the clothes don't matter. And so it just kind of made me step back and just think, wow.
Yeah. And you know, I don't want to cut you off. Was there more?
No, yeah, go ahead. No, that's kind of, yeah, that's the process that kind of stopped me.
Yeah, well, and that's, you know, it's so brilliant, the approach that you're taking, just that simple but profound shift to, let me see if I can step back and look at the process of this. Because, of course, that's the movement towards freedom. Exactly as Anne was pointing at in the Good News update, we're supposed to have all of our attention on the content. And all of life is supposed to be, quote, solved and worked with and all those things on the level of content. And so now you're going to be in a big duality, right? Because, well, I mean, what am I supposed to do? Just let them eat all my clothes and then, you know, go buy more and then they eat those and then, you know, or, you know, no, I have to get rid of them. I mean, I have no choice. They're eating all my clothes, and so if I have to get rid of them, that means X, Y, Z. But all of that misses the opportunity to step back and see the process of all of it. And so it's just so brilliant because in terms of, you know, what's going to be the biggest benefit to our lives is that skill of being able to step back and look at the process of the thing versus saving or not saving our clothes.
Yeah, exactly. Like there it is in a little microcosm of like decisions I have to make every minute of every day almost.
Right.
I just came back from a long drive, like a car trip, and you know, and there were so many dead bugs on the front of my car, and it's like, you know, it's just, I guess, practice just gives us this completely different lens to look at things through.
It absolutely does. It gives us a completely different way of being. You know, and of course, it's something that the monastery is always looking at. Because we live, you know, out at the end of a dirt road on 320 acres. And we got critters. You know, So we have ants who come into all kinds of things. We got bees that bore into the buildings. We had a donkey for a while who would chew on the redwood. We had, you know, it's endless. We've got squirrels who chew on the irrigation. It's endless what the, you know, the interaction of living with critters and constantly being in exactly the inquiry that you're talking about. And, of course, again, conditioning wants us to just solve it. Gosh, be done with it. You know, it's all a big pain and, you know. But on the level of process, when we're practicing, we're never done with it. And there's no need to be done with it. It's a constant inquiry, and there's only just what's the next step? What's the next thing that's going to be best for all is the phrase that we often look at. What's best for all? What's the most compassionate place for all in this situation?
Yeah, thanks for that. That can help me in my closet journey. and one of the really interesting things I found out in looking into the Orkin, like what they say to do about it, is that they have treatments that don't kill them, but prevent them from reproducing. And so that got, you know, that was like the next level of the gears turning, you know, like, well, is that okay? Because they're not going to die. And so it just, I don't know, it was just this kind of spirit of inquiry into it. I lost a thought.
It's just that what I hear in that is that when we do make that movement to step back and be willing to look at the process, what's funny about that is it actually then frees us up to look at the content. So now I can actually...
Oh, like the content's not so charged.
Exactly. So I can do a Google search, and I can find out what do these folks do about it? What does this person say? I can start to ask around. You know, there are all kinds of things that likely will be available to me that if I'm just coming from that dualistic yes or no, good, bad, right, wrong place, I'll never even look for or come across or hear when they're presented.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and I recalled the thing that I read when you were talking about the critters at the monastery. I read an article about the reintroduction of wolves to Yellowstone Park lately. I read the article that was published lately, but they're talking about like years-long changes in the ecosystem there because the wolves, you know, were brought back. And you couldn't even predict, like, the changes that happened. One of the changes was that the rivers became healthier, quote-unquote. Just in this, like, little effect that just snowballed into, like, something that could never be foreseen. So,
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great lesson in, you know, how connected we all are and how we really are all one.
Right. We don't know. You know, we think, oh, this is terrible. But, you know, again, it's that old story. Well, maybe yes, maybe no. Oh, this is so good. Yeah, maybe. Maybe yes, maybe no. You know, we had one of those. We have a very involved ant situation currently at the monastery. And one of the things we suddenly realized the other day was, and we don't have wasps at the building the way we normally do because the ants are eating the wasp eggs. So it's just like you're saying. You can't predict what the... You know, everything affects everything else. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, great. I'll sign off now.
And that's a fun one to hear back what you, you know, how you're doing with it and what you got to and all that.
Yeah, I will. It's definitely an ongoing inquiry.
Yes, exactly. Ongoing inquiry. Very good.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks, Jodine. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jodine. Jen, that was a fascinating conversation. And the place I went to with the little actions was the effects of our little kindnesses throughout
yeah.
this. I mean, it's huge. It is huge.
It is huge.
It is huge.
It
you know,
really
to,
is.
To,
you know, you could write
to
an,
take
an
what
amazing
we've learned.
Short story about that, couldn't you?
Yes.
I just had this image of like, you know, so we do one simple, tiny little, quote, tiny little thing. You know, you smile at someone. And you could write such a great short story of the ripple effect of that. Be fun.
Yeah. Are you there, Jen?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I am or you. I couldn't hear you for a minute. I didn't go anywhere as far as I know, but.
I can hear you now.
Okay, great.
Very occasionally, it sounds a little quiet from you. But
I'll pay attention
to it.
All right, and I couldn't hear you for a minute. You were sort of blipping in and out, and then you're here now.
I'm here now.
And now
and
is
I
what
think
matters.
All
so.
What's that?
I said now is what matters, so that's good.
Yes, perfect. And let's talk to another caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Judy from San Francisco.
Hey, Judy.
Hi.
Hey. It's been a while, and I wanted to call to participate.
Good.
I really appreciate the conversation about process versus content, because it seems like I look at that every day. And seeing how I choose what to have for breakfast, you know, what time I go to sleep, how I interact with the post person, it's just amazing that stepping back is a completely different experience.
Stepping back, I'm occasionally having a little bit of trouble hearing you, Judy.
So stepping back from being absorbed in the content provides a completely different experience.
Yes. It's amazing, isn't it? It truly is completely different.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
What I find helpful is to step back is to ask, what does the human need right now? And that reframes questions or anxieties or trying to, you know, look to the future or review the past. It's just, what does the human need right now?
Oh, that's very good. So maybe conditioning is yammering at the human about, you know, some past crime or, what's going to happen in the future and anxiety and worry and that sort of thing start to build. And so to stop and ask the question, okay, well, what does the human need now really changes the focus of attention, doesn't it?
Yeah. Because I often find that when I hear the stories and the conditioning, sometimes I try to engage with it and say, no, that's not it, or rebut it, or try to negate it. But asking what the human needs now just turns the attention to what she needs now.
And turns the attention to what she needs now, which, of course, is a present moment experience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what kinds of answers you get, but I would imagine sometimes there are even things like, she needs a drink of water.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, or she needs to be reassured of XYZ.
Mm-hmm. Or just to breathe and
right.
Breathe cautiously.
Yeah.
Just that little interruption of the constant yammering.
Right.
Really helpful.
You know, the other thing that occurs to me, Judy, as you say that, especially with the, you know, just to breathe, and is that our needs, what we actually need, is actually pretty simple.
Mm.
It's pretty basic. You know, I mean, there's the food and the water and shelter and, you know, warmth and those sorts of things. And ultimately, you know, if we sort of turn it to the emotional, what we need is unconditional love, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unconditional love and acceptance. And so it's interesting because, at least this is my experience, that, you know, in all that conditioned conversation, we're getting talked into, quote, needing all kinds of things, which makes life complex and overwhelming and stressful and anxiety provoking and all those things. And so that simple question of what is the human need right now, I would guess turns it back to those very simple actual needs, and that when those needs are met and truly received, there's such a simple joyfulness in it. It's like we actually get to live.
And from that place of unconditional love, whatever decisions come is perfect.
Exactly.
For that moment.
And actually, that's a brilliant connection you just made, because that describes why when we say everything's happening just the way it needs to happen, or, you know, whatever decision I make right now is the perfect decision, or, you know, and people can get crazy about that kind of thing. Well, no, I mean, I mean, you sold the stock and you should have kept it. If it's held, if it truly is held in that place of unconditional love, and the human is always being sort of shepherded, stewarded through life by a mentoring presence who loves, in this case, her unconditionally, then truly any decision is the perfect decision for that moment. Because she's always getting what she needs.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
It's a good simple practice just to keep asking that question, huh?
Because there are, you know, countless decisions that we make every day, right? About scores of things.
Yeah.
And from the place of unconditional love, those decisions are perfect. Yeah.
Actually, that was when Jodine and I were talking over each other at one point in the conversation, that's what I kept starting to say, was that it reminds me of it, what you just said, that I heard a statistic recently that the average person, you know, they've done these studies. Who knows how they do these studies, right? But the average person is making somewhere on the order of 50,000 decisions a day. And that actually seems small to me. You know, when you take it to the micro level, it's got to be at least that. And so the vast majority of those have to be unconscious. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're just being made. But so to hold the process in our awareness and becoming from a process of unconditional love, a process of care, of caring for the human in this moment, you know, we don't need to get stuck in what basically is going to be a constant battle of duality if we're not coming from that process place. If we're stuck in the content and trying to make 50,000, quote, good decisions every day, no wonder we suffer. No wonder we're tortured.
Right. Yeah, those are potentially 50,000 ways of, you know, self-hate could have a beating, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
50,000 ways. So it goes from, it's like the from the lose-lose to the win-win that we were talking about with Anne on the Good News Update. So it goes from 50,000 mistakes, quote, mistakes you can make every day, to there's no way to do it wrong when you move it from content to process.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Neat. Wonderful.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity to share. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for calling in and checking in. That's great.
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Take good care, Judy.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Judy. You're listening to Open Air. Tonight we have the privilege of being joined by Jen, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. And Jen, we're going to hear some good information from our coaches program, and then we'll be right back.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks.
This year's theme is training to live in this here now. In any training, having a personal trainer helps tremendously. We can think of Zen Awareness coaches as personal trainers. The coaches have been trained by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching with any number of life issues or awareness practice in general, with special emphasis on recording and listening. We hear from folks new to practice and old-timers alike that awareness coaching provides the extra support their heart desires. And since coaches donate a percentage of their fees to Living Compassion, having a coach also supports practice. To request a Zen Awareness Coach, visit sanghamarket.com, go to Services, under All Categories. Click on the little monk at the bottom, and then follow the directions. We hope to hear from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Jen.
Okay, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen and Michael. This is Margaret from Bishop, California.
Hi, Margaret. How are you?
Hi.
I'm good. Thanks. You know, I'm just calling to participate.
Good.
Yeah, it's been a while, and I feel kind of like I've been on the periphery, you know, and I mean, I've been still participating in, you know, in like the email class and reflective listening and all, but there's still been this sort of sense of not being as connected as I would like to be.
Yep. And what better way to put yourself back on the process map than to call into the show, huh?
Well, that's what I was thinking. You know, I actually participated in a reflective listening support call last week, and I was listening and kind of, you know, ego was kind of checking out and bored by what was, you know, sort of the topic. And then finally towards the end, so I just, and I was tired and sleepy, and so about halfway through the call, I just started to do a little yoga. I was moving a little bit. And that kind of seemed to get the energy going. And then something dropped in to just to share about, and it was really, because I'd been sort of struggling with kind of not being fully present is how it felt, you know, how it was, in particularly in that moment, was feeling. And what I realized is that when I show up for my reflective listening calls, like there's something about that commitment where there's just no question, like that's what I do when I show up for that call, is that my full attention is there, and it happens.
Yep.
And just how great that is.
Yeah. Well, it's only the two of you on the call, right?
Yeah. So the, you know, the pressure's on.
It really. I mean, and it's funny because it's like that. It's such a. it's so perfect the way you said it. You know, the ego's kind of bored by the call, you know, conditioning just wants to snooze. And it's so great that you can articulate it in that way because, of course, it's supposed to feel like me. I'm kind of bored and I'm not really, I'm kind of sleepy and I'm kind of, but it truly is conditioning's ploy to get us pulled out of it. But that's the beauty of something like a Reflective Listening Buddies call or putting yourself in the queue for open air in that you're on, you know, you're up.
And yeah.
It's one of the things you'll hear facilitators talk about of the great gift of having a facilitation practice because you don't have the luxury of going unconscious. And, of course, the truth is we don't want the luxury of going unconscious. Only conditioning wants that, quote, luxury.
Oh, I really appreciate you saying that, the luxury of going unconscious, because I kind of feel like that's been a dominant theme. And it feels like for a while, you know, I don't really know exactly how long, but it keeps weaving in and out, and, you know, there's not any big content going on in my life, and so that sort of opens the window to have, quote, the luxury for conditioning to just kind of...
Yep.
And, you know, what's really showing up is in resistance to more active participation, I think, with Sangha, and then also in resistance to daily, you know, keeping daily practice commitments.
Yep, yep. Well, that would make perfect sense if what you're describing is going on. So, you know, you don't have anything that's really calling you to practice, right, which is so when something really difficult is going on for us, that's often the catalyst to, you know, get up off our, you know, just to really open our eyes and start paying attention and really reach out for the support and start participating in a more active way.
Right.
But as you say, when there isn't anything like that going on, there really is, can be that sense of just getting lulled into, you know. And so no wonder there would be a resistance to the things that are going to pull you more actively into the present moment, into practicing more actively in that way.
Yeah. So after last week's call, I just thought, you know, I just need to up my active participation because I feel like I've been kind of a, like even though there's active participation in the email class and stuff, it's still, there's this sense of passive participation.
Yeah. And then you did it by calling into the show.
I did. I know. I'm so proud of me.
I mean, that's fabulous, isn't it? Yeah.
It is.
To see it, you know, I mean, that's so perfect. It's when we pay attention, everything enlightens us. You know, so we don't have to worry like, oh, God, you know, now I'm not really, you know, I'm kind of being passive and it's kind of, no, I'm just noticing what's going on. And then once I catch on to that, I start to really see what's going on. Well, then I make an intention. You know what? Then I'm going to more actively participate. And then we do it.
Yeah, and what's interesting as I hear that back is that it also has a pretty defined definition of what active participation means, including, you know, calling, which I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But it still is, you know, it's really like what I want is for the motivation to be, you know, get doing my daily meditation practice, and you know, so there's this at some level wanting it, and at the same time, it's resistant to it, so it's just this kind of constant little thorn or irritate, you know, place for suffering.
So when you say wanting it, are you saying a sense of you wanting to have a daily meditation practice?
You know, I'm not really sure. I feel like I want it.
Uh-huh.
There's this sense of, well, I don't know, you know. I'm kind of at a curious place.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll tell you. I mean, if you just wanted a little experiment. So it sounds like right now you don't necessarily have a daily meditation practice. Is that right?
Great. It's more sporadic. Uh-huh. And when I do it, I appreciate it, you know, and I'm glad I did.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of dropping in a couple things. One is on the talk about meditation. I kind of maybe would want to meditate every day, possibly. But I'm not really sure, you know. And also this other thing of feels like there's some, you know, the luxury of going unconscious, you said, sort of spoke to it. So one of the things that would be interesting is for whatever period of time, and, you know, using the Making a Change for Good book could be a perfect way to do it. So maybe it's 30 days or maybe it's 7 days or whatever period of time you choose. Decide you're going to sit for X number of minutes each day. And then I'll tell you what, that's going to probably be a really good way to create that, you know, so nothing difficult's going on in your life, so conditioning's kind of kicking back and trying to get you unconscious. But to do something like that, to say, you know what, I'm going to sit every day for X number of minutes, will very likely draw a line in the sand that will pick up the pace of everything in practice for you.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, there's that would be a good thing to do because it's resistance to even, you know, like making commitments like, oh, well, I don't know if I really want to do, you know, just like
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, and of course, the that is the point, right? We think the point is, well, you know, let me make a commitment that I really want to do. Is that what I really want to do? I'm not sure I really want to do that one.
Yeah, and there's nothing I really want to do, you know. There's nothing, because everything's, you know, everything's fine. So, you know, yeah.
Right, right. So it just, yeah, you're describing it so well. I'm just getting this image of all the voices are just kind of lying low, just kind of slimy along the ground there.
Yeah, just sort of piping up, just sending out whispers, you know.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But then when we draw a line in the sand, like, you know what, I'm going to sit every day. Oh, it'll just bring it all to the surface. And again, that's why something like using Making a Change for Good, which is the book that Sherry wrote, you know, on, I know you
said,
Compassionate Self-Discipline, and the 30-day retreat at the end of it that walks us through keeping a commitment. The reason that that's such a great structure to use is that it assists us to see all the stuff that comes up around the commitment and keeps reminding us that it's not about the content of the commitment. It's about using the process of making the commitment and either keeping it or not keeping it and seeing how that happens as a process of awareness to see how conditioning is in control of our lives.
That's, I appreciate you saying that, too. That's really helpful because I have noticed, you know, it just seeps into exercise or eating this or that or, you know, just it and it minimizes all those little things, of course.
Yep.
And one place that, I mean, conditioning really has used spiritual practice as content and, you know, and against me, for lack of a better word, you know, kind of co-opted practice. And I've been seeing that for, I don't know, probably the last year, ways it's done that. And so when you say, you know, the meditating is, like, it's not about the content, that somehow that feels like it takes a little bit of the charge away from conditioning.
Yeah, exactly.
Like stepping back and just remembering that what I'm actually practicing is keeping a commitment to myself.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And making it very clear and, you know, very measurable, as we say, means that conditioning can't slide around it anymore. You know, because like you said, oh, well, you know, exercise and eating and, you know, it's just little, no big deal. I mean, it's all right. And if all of that is true, you know, if it's one of those, you know, I can stop smoking anytime I choose, right?
Right, right.
Okay, great. Well, how about today?
Yeah, let's try it now.
Right, right. And then if it's not true, if actually conditioning is back there pulling the strings, it's going to be forced to play its hand.
Yeah.
And you're going to start to, ow. You know?
Well, and I'm pretty sure it is conditioning pulling the strings, you know.
Yeah.
Pretty confident that's what's happening. But, yeah, it's just been this sort of lack of, I don't know, initiative or impetus or something to actually take it on, you know.
Well, and, you know, Margaret, that's the other just huge gift of it, is that what, at least in my experience, what happens is we get to see where conditioning is pulling the strings, and we also get to see the extraordinary goodness of the human and how what she is presence and compassion and unconditional love. And, you know, she wants what's good for Margaret, you know.
Yeah.
So as we do that, those two things become separate. Because, of course, when we see, whoa, conditioning's pulling the strings, what's the first thing conditioning does? Oh, look at you, letting conditioning pull the strings.
Right, right. Or then you get to a place where, like, well, it's okay, it's not that big of a deal. I see it happening,
right.
You know.
Exactly. Right, which that happens right before we get to really seeing, whoa, conditioning is pulling the strings. Well, it's not that bad. I mean, not really.
Yeah, I know. I feel like in a way it's this, like there's something sort of big on the other side. Mm-hmm. Or something, you know, it feels like there's this place that, you know, that it's eddied out, the water's eddied out, but like there's this big opening of waterfall, you know, just on the edge, but I just am still, you know, kind of lulled into sort of complacency in this little eddy.
and like our whole lives are on the other side of that thing.
Yes.
Amazing, open, free, beautiful place is there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yay, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. That was really fun. I'm excited for you.
Yes, I'm excited to listen to it again and and see what's next and keep participating.
Awesome. Great.
All right.
Thanks,
thank
Margaret.
You.
Thanks so much for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Margaret. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller here, Jen.
Okay, great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next
Hello?
Caller. There you are.
Hello? Yeah, how are you? This is Art in Maryland.
What's that? I didn't hear that.
This is in Maryland.
I heard Maryland, but I didn't hear the name.
That's strange. Hello, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Yeah, it's one of those, every time you say, can I hear you now, I can hear you.
Okay, so I'll just kind of figure everything's all right.
Yeah,
that's
so you said, I heard
assumption.
Maryland, but I didn't hear your name.
Okay, it's Art.
Art?
A-R-T. Art,
yeah,
yes,
got it.
A-R-T.
Okay, I'm with
great.
You now.
Hi. Great. Hi, Jen. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Art.
Hey.
Hi.
Wow, I've got some big content going on, like everyone.
Uh-huh.
And I've been practicing a lot. My Zen awareness coach has been wonderful. It's been just great. Been about four weeks now. And he's encouraging me to keep my meditation commitment
and
keep my recording and listening commitment and really just to focus on them. And when I do have content coming up, then just it's been very interesting. Content will come up, and before I begin to worry about it, I picked up from him either indirectly or just dropped in right after our last call, was that if any content comes up, I can immediately drop it to recording and listening. And I'll just say, well, okay, well, I'll take care of that with recording and listening.
Oh,
because,
wow.
Because the only thing my priority is to focus on, you know, keeping my meditation commitment and keeping my recording and listening commitment.
Uh-huh.
And so I that's where earlier in the show I don't remember who, I'm sorry, but just to look at the process, I guess it was in the last call, just to focus on the process.
Yeah.
And so anyway, the content is the content really, you know, it has a lot of juice. Definitely, it's about relationships and distance in a marriage, both, you know, both geographic and I suppose emotional distance. So I just thought I'd I just wanted to you know, raise my hand.
Yeah, very good.
Participate.
So, Art, let me see if I'm following. Are you saying that what you've noticed is that when the content comes up, that you're finding that you just say to yourself, okay, got it, I'll take care of that with recording and listening, and then you drop it? Or
yeah.
Were you saying that that was a possibility you saw on the show tonight?
No, that was something that came up. It was almost, it came up right after my last coaching call last Wednesday.
Okay. And so you've been doing that?
And I've been, yeah, you know, Jen, I've been doing that, and there's still, there, you know, I was recording today, mm-hmm. and this afternoon, and I said, mentor, I feel like crying now,
mm-hmm.
and it feels like you're the only person that I can cry with, that I can mm-hmm. be with and cry. And, you know, there may be an aspect of me that, you know, it may have been, you know, I wasn't prepared to make a judgment at the time while I was recording. I just recorded it.
Great.
And thanks. And then the mentor came back and said, hey, I'm with you. You know what? I think that the mentor hasn't responded yet. Because I was just about to pick up my son at soccer. So anyway, yeah, so it was just interesting. Yeah.
Well, and there's so much in that, Art, so let me see if I'm tracking. So you were recording, and then it just felt like you kind of wanted to cry, and mm-hmm. there was a sense of, gosh, saying to the mentor, you're the only person I can cry with. And is there a sense that you can, that that's perfectly all right to do with a mentor right there on the recorder?
Yes, I haven't yet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. You know what? I have a little bit. It's come in moments. You know, my voice will get strained, mm-hmm. and I'll get anxious. You know, I'll just start expressing anger in just frustration. You know, it starts as frustration, and then. You know, and then it all just sort of tumbles out. But it hasn't been. I've heard that if there's no mucus, it doesn't count when you cry.
Huh?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think that it might be conditioning if there's no mucus.
You know, it's interesting because. So, are you doing the process where whatever's going on in that moment, whether it's anger or frustration or sadness. Gets to speak on the recorder, and then you listen back to it.
Yeah,
are you doing that process.
Yeah, until I'm like, okay, you know, I want to populate my recordings with disidentification. You know, there's just so much identification in my recordings lately.
Uh-huh.
That I'm like, man, I don't know if I can. And so when I'm listening to them during the day, it's like. Oh.
Okay, well, that's a really great point you bring up. And, I mean, I think probably folks have all different kinds of ways they manage it. But so in terms of the process you're talking about, so you're whatever's coming up, because, I mean, you're in the middle of some really hard content, right?
Yeah.
And just like if, you know, your son were, you know, grown up and was having really hard, or not even grown up, just having whatever his version of, really hard content was, or a good friend, or a sibling, or someone that you really, really loved
mm-hmm.
was having a hard time, I'm sure you can imagine that whatever emotion they were having about it, whether it was frustration, anger, sadness, that would be okay, yeah?
Yeah.
And so to have that same relationship with ourselves through the recording is such a gift that he's allowed to say whatever he wants to say. And then you get to listen back to it and really hear him from that place of, this is a guy I love. This is someone I really care about. I know he's a good person. I know he's doing the best he can all the time. I know he's in a really hard situation right now. So you listen back to it, and then you just sit with that for a little bit, and then you see what arises from that mentoring place that you want to offer him, just like you would to your son or to a really good friend, and then you hit record. And what you can do, because I really hear you in terms of listening back to it during your day, like driving to work or whatever it is, you're not going to want to listen a whole lot probably to the guy who's frustrated and angry, but you will want to listen back to what the mentor is, how the mentor is supporting that guy. So it could be that you put those things in two different folders, or you could have two different recorders, or however you want to manage that, I think would probably be a good idea.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Great. Well, Jen, I think I'm at my 5 minutes, and thank you so much.
Wonderful. And do report back, Art, and just because I think what you're talking about is so relevant for all of us, just that place of, letting the human have whatever experience he's having is great. You know, he doesn't need to change. He doesn't need to be a certain way. And the fact that he feels safe, that he can go to the mentor to do it, is really good. That's really, really, really important. So well done. You know, it sounds like you and your coach are on a good track.
I guess I'll put another star on my calendar.
Excellent. Very good.
Thanks so much, Jen.
All right. Take care, Art.
Yeah, you too. Good night. Good night, Mike.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Thanks for joining. You're listening to Open Air. And, Jen, it's a couple minutes to the hour, and the queue is empty.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. We did it.
Kind of the first time in many years that the queue is empty.
Yeah.
And kind of right on schedule here.
Right on schedule. That's perfect. Great.
So thank you for being with us tonight. It was a great pleasure and privilege for me to have you with us and with some fabulous conversations, and I'm super duper grateful for it.
Yeah, me too, Michael. And thank you as always for being there on the other end, making it all happen.
My pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you, Jen.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.